Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
If I can turn...
All right, and Chris Ello.
This is really bad. Now, you going to find me some video of Kate Upton or something?
What?
Jogging around in a bathing suit, then I might watch the video.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
404, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Before we get to Chris versus The Fan... Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called, and if you hear it, call back. Call 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Los Angeles Dodgers on September 24th. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, including a trip to Lagasse. Is that what it is? Lagasse?
No, it's Lagasse.
Lagasse.
Like Emerald Lagasse.
Lagasse Stadium, the ultimate sports bar with stadium-style seating. Make sure you sign up at 973thefan.com/biggestfan to enter to win.
Sweet.
Let's get to it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scraby. Tell us the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question or win if you're on the third question. Today, we are playing for a pair of tickets to see the San Diego Padres host the Chicago Cubs Wednesday, September 11th at 7:10 p.m.
All right, Cubs, Padres, winner.
It's a big one.
Tickets, you get a chance to go to that game. If you can defeat Chris or hope he misses three or you get three in a row right. Let's see what happens here.
You feeling dangerous today, Chris?
Like, that's a Baker Mayfield saying. You feeling dangerous,
yeah,
Chris?
I was feeling dangerous.
I don't talk Baker Mayfield.
All right. Josh.
I don't talk that language.
Josh in Lakeside, let's get to it. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
How's it going?
Hey, Josh.
Good, Josh. Here we go. First question. What is the nickname of the University of Tennessee, a.k.a. their mascot?
The Vols?
I think we can say we can accept that, right? The Vols?
That's good.
We'll accept it. The Vols is correct.
It was a tough enough weekend for Tennessee. We better accept that.
They did go down to, was it Georgia State?
Georgia State.
All right, here we go. Question number two. What team was originally named the New York Titans?
New York Giants?
That is incorrect.
J-E-T-S.
J-E-T-S. Jets. 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 That is correct, Chris. Josh, thanks for competing.
I think they're the Titans for 1 year only, too. 1960, the very first AFL season.
Well, there you have it. There Mike in San Marcos, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you guys.
All right, Mike. Here we go. First question. What state is Weber State located in?
It's in the Beehive State of Utah.
That is correct.
Even nice gave the nickname of the state.
Yeah. That's big time right there.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's move to question number two. What coach was best known for coaching Florida State football for over 20 years?
That was Coach Bowden.
All right. Now, there's a few Coach Bowdens. Can you give me a first name?
Say it again.
Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden is correct.
Wow.
Nice work.
He had it.
Nice work. All right, Mike, for the tickets to see the Cubs-Padres play here at Petco Park, question number three.
Take it.
What coach has the most D1A college football wins in history?
Ooh.
Man, you had to yawn through that one.
Division One college football wins in history. Joe Paterno.
Very nice work, Mike. You find yourself going to a Padres Cubs game. Nice work. Stay on the line.
Thanks,
no worries. Stay on the line. Thomas will take care of you.
Mike, I'm so happy you got that because I would have missed it by a mile.
Really? Who were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say Joe Paterno. He's been completely removed from my mind, like in all areas. So
when
I
Googled,
not got that.
When I Googled who has the most wins in college football history, the first article that comes up is, can we allow Joe Paterno to have the most wins in college football history?
You know what's funny?
I thought for a second he was going to be Bobby Bowden because he was in the
league
for a while.
They were going back and forth for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Penn State hit that low where they weren't winning. Bobby took a nice win and then he retired.
Didn't they take away a bunch of Joe Paterno's wins, not because of the incident, but because of some previous wrongdoings at Penn State? I don't know.
I'm looking at it right now and it doesn't say anything about his record being adjusted after the fact. So.
Yeah. I think Paterno won the most games, but there could be
409.
Yeah, there could be a bit of a controversy in the sense that they took some Penn State wins away. You know how they do that? They vacate wins, which means
they didn't
absolutely
happen.
Nothing.
Right.
Because you can't vacate something that we all saw,
that's like
and
the,
it happened, and like everybody the, celebrated it,
right.
won, and they ran off the field and carried the coach,
it's like
and
them,
then you're going to say, oh, that didn't happen.
It's like them taking Reggie Bush's Heisman away. It's like you're going to tell us that we didn't witness like one of the greatest college football seasons in history? Like, that just didn't happen?
As far as I'm concerned, he won the Heisman Trophy, and he always will. Yeah,
there's no,
they can vacate it all they want. The only thing they can vacate officially is the 1994 World Series, because right. there was none.
It, right. There's no memory of it.
Right.
Because it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Yeah. You can't.
What about the Black Sox back in the day?
They can't vacate that, and they never did. They never truly did. I mean, if you go back, the Cincinnati Reds take credit for winning the 1919 World Series.
Okay.
They don't not take credit for that.
Right.
Despite the Black Sox scandal. Now, a lot of the White Sox, who were called the Black Sox because of their role in this, were all...
Banned
from baseball, but they never took away the Reds World Championship because of that. So, yeah.
Good point. Good points.
Thank you. I like to make one once in a while. That was good work by Mike, though. He ripped through those in a hurry.
That was
nice
fantastic.
Job.
And he was well thought of, didn't like stymie through it. He was just like, bam, gave you the answers. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there was a whole bunch of college football storylines over the weekend. We'll recap everything that happened next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 417. Hey, Adam. Adam Jung.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Well, first I was just getting the attention of anybody named Adam.
I thought you were talking to our boss directly.
No. Unless his last name has become Jung. J-U-N-G-K. Adam, you are today's biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back right now. 833-288-0973. And if you do that within 10 minutes and call us, you win a pair of tickets to see Padres Dodgers September 24th. Also, you'll be entered to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, including a trip to
What'd you call it, Tony? Legacies?
I don't even remember now.
I know. Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar, a restaurant with stadium seating featuring elevated game time classics and gourmet options from the great chef, Emeril Lagasse. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Get yourself entered in this contest so we might announce your name someday, like Adam Jung, J-U-N-G-K. Adam, call in within 10 minutes. Your time starts now. All right. College football week one is in the books, and only one ranked team lost, and that was Oregon. And they lost to Auburn, who was also a ranked team, so somebody had to lose that game. The rankings came out today. Nothing changed, of course, because...
Your favorite, the early ranking, first week rankings.
I know, the first week. I'm going to tell you how dumb they are. Iowa State is still in the top 25, even though they needed to go triple overtime to beat Northern Iowa, which isn't even a Division I school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the rankings just make so little sense to me, but I'm not going to talk too much about Iowa State. I do want to talk that Auburn-Oregon game. You know, I had a lot of interest in it because what we talked about last week, Tony, the Pac-12 wants to get on the map. The Pac-12 wants to play games at 9 in the morning so people will pay attention to them. And we said, look, the Pac-12, all they have to do is win some of these games. And they were in control of this game throughout. And then I think they really just took the foot off the gas. There was was it 21-6 in the third quarter, and they just kind of put the offense to sleep. And Auburn came back. I give Auburn credit. They pulled it out, but I thought Oregon was
the better team.
Either the better team or at least as good as.
Yeah.
But it's another feather in the cap for the SEC, which just drives me crazy.
And another missed opportunity for the Pac-12.
That's what it is. And so that was really the big story of the weekend. I thought the other one was, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, was the Mountain West Conference, although we're one of the few people who noticed it because we're in Mountain West City, but Boise State gets a nice win at Florida State. Very uh-huh. interesting that Florida State led 31-13 on its home field, and then Boise State just crushed them in the second half, and the Florida State coaches said after the game, we did not properly hydrate our kids, and they took all the blame for the loss, but that's a pretty much an unforgivable mistake. I mean, if you send a football team out there not properly hydrated, what are you doing?
It's kind of hard to fathom, too,
right?
When you live in Florida.
Like, yeah, you have the humidity.
You sweat getting out of the shower. So, of course, you would think that that would be something, but clearly it was something that they didn't pay close enough attention to because
no.
I caught the second half of that game. I didn't even see the first
half.
I
didn't either.
And I saw at least four or five players play stop. Trainers run on, and they're trying to work out a cramp. Somebody's on the floor. And
yeah.
And the fact that the head coach would then bring it up the next day in his, you know, in his meetings with the media tells you that it probably was something significant.
Pretty significant. And I want to go back to our new college football expert on the program, Skylar, who came in here on Thursday and did her college football picks, and she was victorious, by the way. So good start for Skylar. Congratulations. But the one game she lost was this one. She went 4-1 in her picks, and we'll have more college picks later this week, another chance to beat Skyler and win prizes. But I remember her saying, I don't think Boise State can win this game because they'll probably wear out in the humidity at Florida State. That was Skyler's pregame prognostication.
Somebody wore out.
And she was right, but it was the other team that wore out because of the humidity, and it was the home team, Florida
yeah.
State. That is totally inexcusable, but that's a great win for the Mountain West, as was Wyoming beating Missouri, an SEC team.
Yep.
It's a nice win. And you also had, who was the other one? Nevada beat Purdue.
Beat Purdue, yeah.
And did you see what happened at the end of that game? It was a great little story.
The field goal?
The kid a 56-yard field goal, and then the coach in the locker room after the game gave him his scholarship for making that field goal.
I talked to my nephew who's on that team.
Oh, yeah?
And he was saying how pumped everybody
was
when he, you know, not only did he make the field goal that I don't think very many people expected him to make, but then to get the scholarship reward at the end of it, that's awesome.
That's sweet,
that's awesome.
Man. Sweet move by that coach at Nevada. Nicely done. And so good week for the Mountain West, even though I'm sure the Aztec fans are all up in arms. I get it because I saw that score.
Can we
just
talk
like
about this
did.
A little bit?
Sure. I mean, you can't. 6-0 does not get anybody too excited for your team and your program. I'm sure Rocky Long knows that.
I'm not going to lie. I was at Fox Sports doing the pregame, postgame for the Padres that day. And I knew I wasn't going to get to see the start of it. So I'm kind of checking my phone, checking my iPad, and I keep hitting refresh.
And
it kept saying 3-0.
And you were like, my phone's
and
not working.
By the time it was, I had some time to actually watch, and I kept hitting refresh, and it was still saying 3-0. I decided, you know, I'm not going to watch because I'm afraid I'm going to turn to this channel and I'm going to be upset.
Really mad.
And then they're going to score, and then I'm going to be more upset. So I'm just going to, if it's this close while I haven't been watching, I'm going to stay away. I'm glad I did because they only ended up winning 6-0.
No.
And I felt like if I had turned, I would have been bad luck.
Well, Jeff Horton, the offensive coordinator, who I think all of us who followed the Aztecs the last 10 years have a lot of respect for, I mean, he said straight up, that's about the ugliest performance you could possibly turn in on offense. Rocky Long said the same thing. The only, you know, saving grace is that their defense really dominated the game, only gave up 5 first downs, and the offense did not turn over the ball and hand Weber State any points. But you brought this up. When you put Weber State on your schedule, you can scream from the mountaintop, hey, Weber State's really good. They're a good Division II team or FBS, whatever the lettering is. They're a really good team. They're in the semifinal. You can scream that all you want. Nobody hears that. All
no.
anybody hears is Weber State, which is your game to run up the score the way most good teams run up the score.
Right.
And when they see a final of 6-0, they're not going to be impressed with your football team. And I'm sure Rocky Long's aware of that, and I'm sure his kids are aware of that. They've got to do much better this week. Now, having said that, I remember one year they lost to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in the first game at home. That was about 10, 12 years ago. It was right before Brady Hoke got here. It was the Chuck Long era. They get beat by Cal Poly, a Division II school. Then the next game was at Notre Dame. And you're like, oh, my goodness. They're
going to
lose by 100. And they almost won.
Right.
They end up losing kind of on a chintzy call right at the end of the game. And Notre Dame end up beating them. But I guess my point is you can play this way and you can come back the following week. College kids are college kids. They tend to change things around. Maybe they really, truly were. I hope. Fingers crossed. They were just looking ahead to UCLA this week.
I hope that was the case.
I mean, let's just say that was hopefully the case because they're gonna if they play like this against UCLA. Not that UCLA is a great team, but I would think UCLA is going to beat them up pretty bad if they don't at least
UCLA
score.
UCLA didn't look good either.
No, their quarterback was terrible.
By the way,
he was 8 for 26.
Ooh,
against
man.
Cincinnati with 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles. So the Aztec defense may be able to keep UCLA, you know, limited in this game. But obviously, offensively, they're going to have to do something. You can't. I don't know. Would you?
8 for 26 is good in baseball.
Yeah, that's it'll get you in the Hall of Fame. It's not going to get you anywhere in college football, though, as a quarterback. Would you take like? Yes, you would. But I'm just hypothetically, if the Aztecs kept winning games 6-0, 10-3,
like all
9-7 all season. Like, do you think eventually people would go, hey, this is pretty good. This is a good team.
Of course. You know, we're good at finding ways to spin something, right?
Right.
I mean, if they go undefeated and they're winning games 3-0,
they never score more than 15 points, but they go undefeated, that'd be
cool.
All right.
Because at that point, the narrative is set in, though, this defense is legit.
Oh, my goodness. This defense is the greatest defense of all time.
Right. So I would be okay with it. I would probably use the... It's a comparison to Ohio State the year they beat Miami. They were always in like nail biters, winning on a last second touchdown, last second run, last second pick. I would take that as long as it's undefeated.
Yeah, but for 1 week we're not accepting that.
No,
and
not against Weber
State. Rocky Long is the one thing that I also like though is that they won the game and Rocky Long can go to practice this week and tell his kids how bad they were.
You always like that. That was the case
of last year. Very good thing for coaches to you can teach after a win, and you know you're going to get their attention. They're going to listen to you after they played a game like that. So Rocky Long has a way of kind of bouncing back from stuff like that, and at least they did not lose the game. So let's be clear about that. All right, week one of the college football season is in the books. An hour and a half of this program is in the books. When we come back, we turn it over to Scraby.
Yes!
Where did I come from?
You're just so excited. The Big Five is coming right on up with Gwen and Chris.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
434. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris sliding through this Tuesday. Thomas, I need you to cue up a round of applause for me real quick. Let's give a round of applause to AAF own and San Diego State Aztec. Cameron Kelly. He's found his way through college, had to go the rough route of grinding to get a job. He goes to AAF, has some success there, and now he's a Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers is not shabby.
No, not only did he make the 53-man roster as a backup free safety, the guy has a chance to start here this week. With Sean Davis nursing an ankle injury right now, he's been taking first-team reps, so... I had to send a shout out to Cameron Kelly
for him.
The hard work he's put in. We've had him on our show a few times.
Yeah.
Very pleasant, very cool to speak with. And now all that hard work is being rewarded at the NFL level, which at the end of the day was his main goal.
And he played in the same defensive backfield, I think, with DeMonte Casey.
He did.
At least for 1 year.
Yeah.
Kelly, I think, was a safety at that time, and then DeMonte was a cornerback. And then when DeMonte graduated, Cameron moved over to corner.
Right.
But both of them, I mean, DeMonte Casey led the whole NFL in interceptions last year. So Rocky Long's had some guys on defense. Now I just need some guys on offense.
A bunch of them. Yes. Yes, they do. Scraby, it's your time, player.
Yes.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
First, before we get into it, I wanted to say something a little sad, personally to me, across the street.
And
you, Chris.
I knew
yes.
him. I worked over there.
I worked with him for 3 years in the mornings. George Chamberlain, NBC7, also contributed to the News Talk station. He passed away from cancer a couple days ago. And George was actually one of the guys that I talked to every single morning about sports, and I talked to him about golf in particular. He was the guy who wanted to talk equipment with me. I can never find a guy who wanted to talk equipment in golf.
Golf equipment?
Golf equipment.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so rest in peace, George. Very sad, too.
Thanks for everything that George did for all of us. I mean, this guy was really a legendary member of the media in San Diego for decades upon decades, and was on television for many years and radio, and absolutely wish the best for George Chamberlain's family.
Yes.
And thinking about you guys.
I'm so tired of cancer. We need to do something about that.
Yeah. Cancer has taken someone from my family. Yeah, lots of families. And everyone in this room has been touched by cancer.
That's the crazy part, right?
Yeah.
Is that we've all been touched by it by some regards.
All right, let's get into the fun stuff. Let's go, Thomas.
Number five.
According to 10 News, San Diego State University students were outraged with the football home opener tailgate at SDCCU Stadium this past Saturday. This comes after an email was sent last October by the university declaring new rules for tailgates. It reads, quote, "Students and recognized student organizations with more than 25 people in attendance are required to register for tailgating," end quote. The new form requires organizations to acknowledge kegs, glassware, and underage drinking is prohibited. They also check a box acknowledging failure to follow any of these guidelines could result in citation or arrest, as well as loss of tailgating privileges and or game tickets. So, Tony, do you have any issues with this?
Wait. So they banned tailgating?
Over 25 people, you have to register your tailgate.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you got 25 people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot. Taking up a lot of spaces for other people.
A lot of underage drinking, too.
And you can book that, too, as well. So, I don't have a problem with this one. Just keep your groups under 25. Everything's all good.
24 people.
Everything's all good, right?
That's a great point.
That's what my fraternity would have done.
100%.
We would have just chopped up into groups of 24 right. And had 7 tailgates. Yep. I it's just crazy. But yes, in this day and age, these are rules that have to be put in. I mean, you can't have underage drinking. You can't have kids drinking and driving. I mean, you have to. This is the world in which we live in now. I mean, the world in which I lived in college had no rules. And we obviously, I never saw the first quarter of a college football game when I was in school because the tailgate was everything. And I was only 19, 18 years old as a freshman, sophomore. But, I broke every rule you could probably break. But they just didn't really enforce any of those rules back then. Now they do. And so I think this makes sense. What is the beef that people have? That they just don't like any rules being put in?
Yeah, pretty much. The things that I read were that a few students were saying that it was because people didn't really know about this, and so they were probably walking around the parking lot like giving citations or warnings or something like that, and it was killing the buzz of people.
Literally.
Yeah, literally killing the buzz. Yeah.
So. I tell you what, Chris said they had no rules. I think we've incrementally added just like one rule a year, one rule every generation, right? Because we had rules, but there wasn't that many of them,
not
right?
Not too many.
It's like I said.
I remember Coach Dietz telling us our first Friday before a Saturday football game, if I see any of you yo-yos at the football game tailgating and out of control, it's going to cost you some serious playing time.
Yep.
And I said, oh, no, I'll be fine.
Got that same one.
And then I was walking around on Saturday going, God, I hope I don't run into Coach Dietz.
Yeah,
I can be in big trouble.
I will say this. I saw the first quarter only my freshman year. After that, I didn't see the first quarter of any football game.
I didn't either.
What a dork. Freshman and watching first quarters.
I want to see the game.
No, I went to a lot of San Diego State games between 2003 and 2006. And I'm surprised it took it this long for them to get these rules in place. It was crazy. People were crazy in those parking lots.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
Number 4.
There's been this number floating around this morning on Twitter that floored me when I read it. In 2018, AAA teams hit 3,652 home runs. In 2019, AAA teams hit 5,749 home runs. That's almost 2,000, or that is over 2,000 more home runs. A possible reason? Well, this year was the year AAA switched to Major League Baseballs, which has all the critics out there saying this is proof of a juiced ball. Chris, how do you explain the one-year jump in homers?
You just explained it.
It's a juiced ball.
Yeah. Baseball said so, didn't they? Didn't they finally come clean, basically, and said that the center of the ball is a little harder and more centered than it's ever been before, and it's smoother,
Major League,
and this and that and the other? Or did somebody else say
somebody
that?
Somebody else said it. Major League Baseball did not say that.
Baseball will still try to just say it's not true. We were talking about it last week, Tony, about how they, every time a ball even touches the dirt now, they throw it out of play. It used to be pitchers could use those scuffed balls a little bit, make them move, make them a little harder to hit.
Yeah.
They don't even give the pitchers that advantage anymore. Every ball that is in play is an absolute perfect pearl that is just crushable.
Do they...
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Thank you.
Do they remove the ball after a hit? That seems so
yes,
weird to me.
Yes, they throw it away. No matter if it touches the ground, they throw it out. Now.
They don't always. Some pitchers will
Most
get a hit,
the
they'll throw it out, but...
That's always that's always been crazy to me that the bad thing that happened to them, which is they gave up a hit and they're still willing to use that ball, but they're not willing to use, you know, it's
yes,
kind of weird.
Because if the ball hits the dirt and gets some scuff marks on it,
it can be somewhat
advantageous for the pitcher. They usually don't even give them that opportunity anymore.
Tony, what do you think? How do you explain this one-year jump in homers in AAA?
Yeah, because they're using big league balls. They used to have a separate ball for AAA, for AA, and so big leagues and AAA are using the same exact balls. And even before the ball was this different, there was always a big difference between a AAA ball and a AA ball. The seams are a little bit bigger. You can get a grip on them. Virtually, the seams are invisible on a big league ball. They're so aerodynamic, which is part of the reason these balls are flying. And by the way, these pitchers nowadays shouldn't be allowed to use scuff balls. They don't know where it's going when it's not scuff. So let alone you give a kid a scuff ball that's throwing 97, a lot of people are in danger.
What's the point of having different balls throughout the different levels if you're all trying to get to one goal, which is Major League Baseball?
Because you want that ultimate ball to be.
So it's, I get what you're saying. It's,
I think,
like,
the college football,
the pro ball
is different than the NFL ball.
Right. Oh, it definitely is. It's bigger.
The college basketball and high school basketball are different than a pro basketball.
You just answered my question.
Mm.
All right.
That tends to happen on
this
show.
Yeah,
number three.
It's amazing how much you learn on this show, Scravy.
Yeah, just simple answers like that. Brazil overcame a double-digit deficit and beat Greece 79-78 in a thriller at the FIBA World Cup in Nanjing, China. Today, NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with 13 points but fouled out late in the fourth quarter for Greece. Brazil's Alex Garcia, who is 39 years old, seemed to stifle Antetokounmpo at every turn. And then Brazil coach Alexander Petrovic said, quote, "Why this sport is wonderful? You have a guy who won MVP. He's 23 years old. And who stops him tonight? The guy who is 40 years old and kicks his bleep." End quote. Tony, do you think the Brazil coach is speaking out of turn here?
No, I just think this is some friendly FIBA competition right here. I think, Giannis is like the best player in the world. At least most people thought going into that game, and I still think people think that even after. But it's something to be said about a 39-year-old man, you know, bruising him up a little bit, playing some big boy ball.
That is the ultimate top story in a bar when you go
100%. Like he,
yeah, I shut down Giannis.
Shut him down back
39.
In the 2019 FIBA World Games,
summer after he won MVP.
Gave him the business. Just read my coach's comments. He'll be able to clarify everything for me.
Chris, do you think the Brazil coach is speaking out of turn here?
No. I mean, his guy got the best of Giannis in this game, so
you don't think
he's
any
got every right to
and
say
they
something.
Won.
Should he say it? Should he not compliment his own player?
I'm playing devil's advocate here. Should he show a little bit more respect to the NBA MVP? Everybody has a bad game.
Should he show more respect? I think Giannis gets plenty of respect. He doesn't need any from the Brazil coach. If he wants to get more, play better, and then he'll get plenty, and he already does. Look, the USA barely beat Turkey today. Didn't they go to overtime?
They did.
I mean, it's
and they
starting
had
to,
Turkey
to,
had to miss four straight free throws, too.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't see
late
all
in the
game. Details. I just
not
saw that
good.
they went to overtime. Look, the rest of the world is just got a lot of really good basketball players, too, and Giannis is one of them. I think this guy, you know, a great defensive effort can be a work of art if you really have yourself a game. But I'm pretty sure that Giannis contributed to this with just a poor shooting game as well. I don't think it's like did Giannis not get any shot attempts?
I'm looking it up. He scored 13 points and he fouled out.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a great performance, so give the guy credit. That's all.
I think he was just pumped up. He was pumped up.
Should have been.
His team got the win over Greece against the NBA MVP, and his guy shut him down. That's
the way
exciting.
You should prepare to play against somebody like that. You should look at it as a challenge.
Yes.
It's like I talk to Randy Jones every day on the pregame show, and he talks about how the Padre pitchers, if a guy gets on base on an error, you should take it upon yourself as the pitcher to say, good, now I can get a double play. But it doesn't mean you can always do it, but that's the proper mindset. And I think this Brazil team had the proper mindset. I'm sure this guy did not shut him down on his own, by the way. I'm sure it was pretty good team defense.
I was about to say, the one photo I saw is of like three guys surrounding him as he's going to the basket.
Yeah, I doubt they just cleared out and let this guy go one-on-one defensively against Giannis and completely shut him down. That would be pretty surprising.
Do you know what another player on this Brazil team that was even better than this 39-year-old? Anderson Varejão.
Oh,
back in the day.
Long hair, don't care, Anderson Varejão.
He played hard, though, that guy.
He did.
He played
hard. He was one of LeBron's favorites, too, because of how hard he played.
He plays hard, or played hard.
The
still
FIBA
does.
World Championship website is maybe the worst website I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'm going to tell you that the website I'm reading, because I'm looking this up also, talks about how they stopped Giannis.
Oh, he
doesn't
I
say
it.
A thing about what Giannis' statistics were, though.
I found it.
Oh.
He played 28 minutes. He had 13 points. He shot 3-for-7 from the floor.
He had seven
free throws, and he had 4 rebounds. Nothing really.
It didn't sound like he was really asserting himself if he only took 7 shots.
Yeah. That's some bad coaching on the Greece team's part, too, to only have the best player in the world shoot 7 shots.
And thank the Lord that I don't have to pronounce any of these Greek names. Oh, my goodness.
You know what bothers me about FIBA, though? That you can knock the ball out of the hoop while it's on the rim. Like if
I like that rule.
You shoot a rebound and it's like bouncing around, you can just jump up and knock it off.
Do you
like
know
that.
How many points NBA games the final score would be 12-10?
Right, dudes would just be knocking balls off all the time.
Well, I think all right. Another great point.
I would sign a whole bunch of dudes like Dwight Howard that, hey man, as soon as the ball hits the rim, just knock it off. That's all you do. Yeah.
Well, what about just standing under the hoop and even a jump shot, just jump up and knock it out of there before it goes through?
I don't think you can go.
Oh,
though.
You can't do that?
You gotta
but if you can goaltend any shot, right? So just stand under the hoop if you're Dwight Howard and a three-pointer shot, just knock it out of there. You'd never get scoring. That would be bad, Scrappy.
Number two.
All right, we talked about it. I think our boss Bob is gone, so I don't need to whisper.
You better be sure.
But the Tennessee Volunteers' home loss Saturday may have been their most embarrassing upset of the decade. Tony's looking for him to come down the hall as we're talking about this. As for the Georgia State Panthers, who beat them, it doesn't even rank as their best win in program history, according to head coach Sean Elliott. Here is head coach Sean Elliott talking to his team after the game.
I said it out there. They say the SEC just means more. Today's game means more.
Very quick clip, but you can see how pumped up Georgia State was, and rightfully so.
What did they say there?
He said, I said it out there, but they say the SEC means more, but who meant more today?
I said it out there. They say the SEC just means more. Today's game meant more. Okay.
So they were paid by Tennessee $950,000 to beat them in their home stadium.
Good.
The head coach of the team, Sean Elliott, makes $515,000, so they pretty much made up his salary right there for that win. And Georgia State's only recorded 20 wins since it moved up to college football's top level in 2013.
Yes, they finished last in the Sun Belt last season. They weren't even like a good team in their conference.
And the Sun Belt's not a good conference.
No.
What could possibly top getting your first Power 5 win at an SEC team that paid you nearly $1 million just to show up? Well, he says the head coach, a 2017 Auto Nation Cure Bowl does. He said that was the first big win of the program history. Blah, blah, blah. So, Chris.
Blah, blah, blah.
I didn't want to read the rest of that. So, Chris, do you agree or disagree with Georgia State head coach Sean Elliott about this not
being
the biggest win?
I don't know what he said, it's a little hard to agree or disagree.
Okay,
but
I just want you to understand.
He said that a win in a bowl game was better than beating Tennessee.
Correct.
I think the bowl game's pretty important, but I think that the Tennessee game is going to give them a lot more notoriety. But to them, yeah, I can get why he would say that, but to the rest of us, I don't remember Georgia State even being in a bowl game, but I will remember them beating Tennessee.
You don't remember the 2017 Auto Nation Cure Bowl?
No, I don't.
All right. Tony, do you think this is... Do you agree or disagree with the head coach about their biggest win?
I mean, I think a bowl game is probably bigger. Tennessee ain't what they used to be.
That's for
so
sure.
So I have to agree with them.
Wow. Wow. You think Georgia State wins more than 4 games this year?
Nope.
All right.
I don't think Tennessee wins more than 4 either,
right.
By the way.
Remember when Appalachian State beat Michigan back then? That was a huge win. And then Appalachian State, like, I don't think they did anything.
No, they did. They kept winning. They were
did
like
they?
Appalachian State is like always
now they're
good.
Division I and they're pretty good.
So that win may have been the win that put them on the board.
Catapulted them.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. The Chargers signed center Mike Pouncey to a one-year extension that ties him to the team through the 2020 season. Adam Schefter is reporting the deal is worth around $9 million. Pouncey started 16 games for the Chargers last season and earned his fourth Pro Bowl selection. And we told you earlier, the Chargers have told running back Melvin Gordon he can seek a trade, basically telling him he will not be getting the contract he wants. So, Tony, if you are Melvin Gordon, how do you feel when you hear this news?
I got some decisions to make, don't I?
Do you want to play?
Do I want to stand by my original thought that I am deserve to be in the top, what, seven backs in football and forfeit this money that I could get this year? I think not. I think I make my way on in. He's got 1 year left on his deal, right? Not two like Zeke does. Play this year out and get paid the
following year. With the Chargers?
I mean,
what else are you going
to
do?
They don't even want him.
They don't have to. Well, they don't want him at the price tag he wants to be at. They want him.
They told him to seek a trade.
They gave him permission to because they don't think they can get there. Now, and they're probably, but I think they kind of show their hand there, right? Because that means they're probably a little scared that he's going to stay out the whole year. So why not try to get something from him? So if I'm him, I probably come back. But that's just me.
Chris, what do you think? If you're Melvin Gordon, how do you feel when you hear that the Chargers re-signed Mike Pouncey?
Well, I don't feel good about it. I mean, it pretty much makes it clear to me that they're not all that interested in my services.
At all.
Which is why I wouldn't be interested in running back to them and begging them to play. I think I've made my bed now. I have to lie in it, which is either I find a trade or I sit out the season like Le'Veon Bell did, and I hope I get a huge contract with somebody else next year, which I probably will. And keep in mind I'm saying all of this because I drafted the other Charger running back, and I don't want Melvin Gordon to come back to the Chargers.
Which one did you draft? Eckler or
yes,
Jackson?
Eckler.
Okay.
But I would answer the same way. I mean, if you tell me basically I don't want you, it's hard for me to swallow my pride and walk back in and give you a great season. I think it'd be very hard.
I'm the complete opposite.
You're swallowing your pride and walking back in.
Yeah. I put my foot down. It didn't work. I got to do something.
So you lifted your foot back up is what you're saying. You put it down and then you put it back up.
That happens a lot in my life. A lot in my life. All right, the Big Five brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
Serena Williams, by the way, blowing out her opponent in the first set at the U.S. Open tonight. So cruising toward the semifinals. Just a little U.S. Open update for you. Since Serena, I think, this is the one that she needs to tie the Grand Slam record.
Yeah, she needs any Grand Slam at this
right.
point.
But if she wins this one, this will tie the record. And everyone's out of the way. I mean, this sets up pretty good for her.
It does. Padres, of course, back in action tonight. 6:40. Pre-game show starts at 5:40. Here on 97.3 The Fan, we're going to step away and take a break. When we come back, the Padres had a whole lot of new faces in the lineup over the weekend. We'll give our thoughts next. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.